You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Lord, we give you thanks that you gather your people to hear from you, to hear your word. We thank you for the gift of worship. Some of us have been at 7:30 or 9, some to go to 11 soon, but we thank you for gathering us and speaking your grace and your truth. Be with us now, Lord, as we look at a medium that's not your word, but hopefully informed as we watch it, Lord. Our imaginations are touched by your grace and your truth. So be with my friends and myself now, in Christ's name. Amen. Well, friends, I thought it would be fun. It's been 2 years since I've done a movie class. I was inspired by Adam Young most recently doing a movie class, and I thought I'm overdue. And this time 2 years ago, I did a series on law and grace in horror movies. And I know that seems like, oh my goodness, horror movies. And not that my class is worth revisiting, but the subject matter, I did that 2 years ago. You might consider that if you like horror. But I thought I'd spare you all and we'll do romantic comedies this time around. And again, I think many of us as Christians, we have our Sunday faith, we have our Bible study faith, but then we step out of those venues and we kind of forget what it means to be a Christian in the world. And when we watch movies or read literature or just engage in human life, we're often disintegrated. And this is sort of an exercise to be integrated. So even as we watch a movie that's completely secular, to find vestiges of law and grace in it. That's kind of the exercise this morning. The movie we'll be looking at this today, I'll teach again in 2 weeks' time, and I haven't decided which one yet. So if you've got any strong opinions, you can let me know after the class. But today, the clips, and hopefully y'all can see. If you can't, you might bump over. The Big Sick, Kumail Nanjiani, who's a comedian, Pakistani-American. And I really was touched by this movie. Mentioned it in a sermon, I think, last week. And I thought, let's do a class. But let's start with some presuppositions. Yeah, our Christian faith. What is at the heart of the Christian faith? It's that Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. That comes from Romans chapter 6, chapter 5, verse 6. Paul says this, "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." So that was a little more than just verse 6. But yeah, at the heart of the Christian message is that Christ loves the ungodly. Not the ones who got their act together, not the ones that had everything in line, not the ones who followed the law, but he loved the ungodly. He died for the ungodly. So that's a basic Christian presupposition. And then moreover, the second presupposition this morning is the law does not change anybody. The law does not change anybody. I'm going to borrow from Luther for just a moment. Martin Luther, wrote a document before his, right after the 95 Theses. One of his first published works after that was the Heidelberg Disputation. And this is a bombshell of a document. And he goes through, and it's kind of laborious to read because it's a numerical list, but he talks about what the chief goal of a theologian is. And he says, a good theologian is one who can distinguish between law and gospel. And I think that's a really provocative point in his time, 1518. But I'll read this one point. This is the 28th thesis of this work. He says, "The love of God does not find, but creates that which is pleasing to it. Human love comes into being through that which is pleasing to it." So what he's trying to say is, God doesn't go out looking for the righteous. They're not out there. Instead, his grace creates the righteous. His love and grace creates righteousness within us. So I'm going to let those two points kind of hang as we look at the film. So the first point being Christ died for the ungodly. And then the second point, the law doesn't change anybody. But instead, God's love is what is the change agent, not following the law. All right, so I'll give you the introduction to the movie here. So this just sets the stage. Kumail is a comedian. This is based on a real story. It's his own life.
I grew up in Pakistan, and people are always asking me, what was that like? Really not that different from here. I mean, we played cricket, which is just a spicier version of baseball. And we prayed a lot, well, not a lot, just 5 times a day. And we married someone our parents find for us, arranged marriage, yeah. But for me, it was probably that we got episodes of Knight Rider a little bit later. By a little bit later, I mean, we just got episode 2. But other than that, it was exactly the same.
So that just sets the stage. So he's a comedian in real life. And he's a Pakistani-American, right? And we'll see clips that kind of fill this out. And Darlene, I hear you laughing especially. You've been to India, of course, lived in India for quite some time, so you know the Pakistan too, or more so Pakistan, right? Yeah.
10 months.
Yeah. In any case, Muslim culture where he is, and a lot of expectation about the kind of career he would go on, his spiritual life, how he manifests that. And then the theme of the movie is finding a wife. And of course, arranged marriage is their custom. And even though they're in the United States, his parents keep that custom. And so he's expected to marry into this arranged marriage. And so throughout the film, various women come basically to be interviewed whether or not he would want to marry them. So they meet at the bar. He's performed a set, and he meets this woman, Emily, who kind of gives a woo-woo in his show. And he says, well, you heckled me. And she says, no, I just woo-wooed. He says, actually, a heckle is anything you say. It doesn't matter if it's positive or negative. You heckled me. And so that's their opportunity to meet at the bar. And they hit it off. And he falls in love with this girl, Emily, who's a grad student at the University of Chicago.
Back to you being a therapist.
Great. To me getting my master's. We'll start there and then we'll go to the rest of it.
So they meet. They go back to his place to watch a movie.
Chris is probably on the couch. He's going to want to try and start a conversation. So do not engage.
He's got to avoid his roommate.
Hey, pals.
Hey.
How are you? Do you want to watch a movie?
Sure.
Okay.
Should I just, like, put my stuff down on there?
Yeah, I would say it's safe. You know what? That area is... Go for that area. I cleaned that earlier this year, so...
Should I take my shoes off or is the shoes on bed?
No, it's a shoes off bed. I have strict rules.
Oh, wow. That is totally an inflated mattress.
Yeah. Did you think it was going to be a flat inflatable mattress?
I didn't think it might be an actual mattress, but, you know.
Well, air mattresses are actual mattresses. You're being bigoted.
Okay.
Towards air-based.
Uh-huh. Towards air-based
comfort items. Night of the Living Dead.
Sure, I haven't ever seen that movie.
Okay, so... Basically, the dead start rising.
All right, so they start the movie, and of course, you know, they make out on the bed. I'm not going to show that part. But you see, he's able to be himself. He's joking, he's having fun, and that's contrasted with what I'll show you in just a moment when he's at the dinner table with his family, and he just has a straitjacket on. He can't be himself. So he's met someone that he likes, and as they kind of go through this date, she says, look, I'm not interested in a relationship. I was just looking for a fun time. And she calls an Uber driver, and lo and behold, he's the Uber driver. So he gets to drive her back to her house, which is just funny. So they're in the car, and they set strict boundaries. You know, hey, this don't call me ever again. This was fun, but I've got my studies. I'm a grad student, please. And of course, he calls her again.
So maybe I'll run into you at the class sometime if you can grab a drink.
I know this sounds like a lie, but I'm not really dating right now. I got a lot of school and work, and
yeah,
just a lot on my plate.
Yeah,
No, I get it. Totally. That's perfect, because I'm not dating right now either. Yeah. And I actually have a pretty strict two-day rule where I can't see someone more than 2 days in a row. So since we hung out for 2 days, and even if I were to see you again, which I won't, because you're not dating, I'm not dating, I wouldn't be able to see you until Monday.
We haven't hung out for 2 days. We've hung out for about 5 hours. Yeah, just to, like, be totally clear.
Yesterday and today, because it's after midnight, so today is actually tomorrow, or day tonight was yesterday, so 2 days.
You see, I don't date time nerds, so that really takes you off the table.
That works out, because I am a hardcore time nerd.
Yeah, I can tell.
I'm, like, very strict about AM, PM stuff.
So wait, so just to establish, what did we decide?
We decided we are never going to see each other again.
Great. I'm glad we're on the same page.
They clearly both know better. So contrast that he's free, he's himself, and now he's
look at my jeans,
back with his family.
Citizens of Humanity, that's the brand's name. They're so soft, touch them.
I don't want to touch your jeans.
Come on, touch them. They're like sweatpants, you know. You should be stylish like your father. It's not very difficult. Just observe me.
Get some daddy style.
Yeah. Me? Why don't you grow a beard? Not like now. It's just a small one.
Yeah.
Like
maybe like mine. Small, cool and stylish.
For me, I've been thinking, you know, why you don't enroll for LSAT now?
Yeah, sorry, Ma. I haven't done it yet. I like that you bring it up as if you've never brought it up before.
How's the stand-up coming by?
Ouch. How's the stand-up coming by?
Yeah, since when are you someone to stand up? You know who I think should stand up is Malala. She has something to say.
Yeah. I know she does all the basic crushes. A lot of ethnic material, which I think is a crush, and that one story gets a lot of play, but...
You should be on that show, Saturday Night Live.
Listen, that's a great idea. She emails them. I don't know why.
You know, I had cousin Rehan's Facebook account.
You had to do it.
Yeah, they were not accepting my friend's request, so I had to hack into it. And I discovered that he and that white woman that he's living with are having a baby.
They're married.
Yeah, whatever. And then I had to come and I discovered that they have named the baby Dave. Can you imagine?
Dave.
Dave?
It's probably Dave.
Dave.
Nobody's going to understand. No one is going to visit that baby. And that baby, mark my words, will grow up without a family.
It's like he's dead or worse.
It's very sad. Kumi, go and pray now, so then we can eat ice cream. Go.
What?
Go.
Yeah,
please,
yeah,
go. Because I know you'll be great.
Ice cream.
And then we'll eat ice cream. Stop. Janamas is downstairs. Go.
You just hear all the law. You should be in law school. You know, you should have a successful career. You should have a lady in your life. You should pray. Just all these oughts and shoulds. And why can't you be more like your brother? Grow a beard. Be a man. He's supposed to be praying, but he's not very pious. And again, the law causes us to lie and to hide. So he said his prayers, he's going back up.
Best kulfi, your grandmother?
I think ice cream is better than kulfi.
No.
Oh, I wonder who that could be.
Yeah.
Let me check.
I'm guessing it's a young, single Pakistani woman who just happened to be driving by our house, which is in a cul-de-sac. And I'm also guessing that the phrase, dropped in, will be said in the next 10 seconds. Then, 9, 8, 7. What?
Everyone? This is Zubeda. She just dropped in.
Come,
please sit. Oh, here, Kumail. For your files. Your X-Files. Because
you.
That's your favorite show, huh?
Thank you so much.
The truth is out there.
It's from the show.
It's from the show.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, so you get the gist. He's got just all this pressure. And again, I'm using this as a foil for law, for our legalism. And again, we experience this in our lives, whether it's in dating relationships or parental relationships or siblings. You often feel it there the most. Come to my house sometimes, see my two older kids, just the rivalry. And they couldn't be any more different. But we experience those little L laws in our lives, right? Now, it's not the law of God. It's not the same thing. But it does translate to when you're told you should do or you should not do, you ought not. it doesn't create change. It actually causes us to hide or lie or wear a mask or to overcompensate. It doesn't produce within us actual righteousness, right? And I think of Adam and Eve in the garden. When they broke the law and when God was seeking them, what did they do? They hid and they covered themselves. They didn't want to be seen for who they really are. And of course, God knows who they really are. I'm going to skip to the next scene, and I've got to be mindful here of time, too. Good night. We're not going to have enough time for everything. He's got his comedian friends, and they're always telling him he should try harder, too. He's just got it from all areas.
Watch your land, Mike. So, the way.
Spending time with his brother.
Hey, you're like a Pakistani Sammy Sosa. He's pretty good. Just do what he's doing.
Mike.
Why do you get this?
This cookie is really good.
Hey, biscuits, listen to yourself. You hardly sound Pakistani. Okay. Sound like Julie Louis Dreyfus. Such a burger.
I'm not a burger.
So I'm sorry, man.
And biscuit is actually a British
joke. Thank you for all the information I'm going to shit about, and you should listen to Mom and Grow a Beard.
It's really itchy, I've tried.
It's all itchy.
I know it sounds like a baby.
Man and conditioning, like I do.
What's the thing with Muslims growing beards anyway? It's such an arbitrary thing. Decided that.
Oh,
yeah.
So
there's
a
vein of us, and you're the only one with the truth.
Is that right?
So the sun's just shining down on you right now. It's just a party.
You know, I have to tell you something, buddy. I've been dating this girl.
Asha.
She's white.
Oh! I thought you were going to say you were involved in a hit and run or you got caught forging some checks. But a white girl! Dude, it's such a cliche.
It's okay. We hate terrorists.
Listen, I understand. You're in America and you want to mow a few lawns and see what it's like. But eventually, you have to marry a Pakistani girl. Like I don't know the other girls. But then I married Fatima and we hardly spoke 2 words to each other in the first few months. But now... she's like my best friend.
I know.
You have to break up with her immediately. If I find someone who's as good for me as Fatima is for you, Mom would understand, right? I mean, she wouldn't love me less.
No, she'd definitely love you less.
So you see, he's crossed the line. He's dating a non-Muslim, a white girl, and that's just too far for his family. So he's still seeing Emily. They're having a really... just a beautiful time together, getting closer, and then all of his lies come out because he's not only been lying to his family, but he's been lying to her about who he is and what he does, and it finally comes out here. So they've been spending the morning together. She kind of goes through his things and finds evidence.
Friends. That Craig guy? Or was it Greg? You know, I can never tell with those names.
I'm glad I like him, because I don't want to have to, like, come up with excuses to avoid him, you know, like,
so no, I'm kite surfing tonight. You know, in the UK, Craig is pronounced Craig, which is good, because that's how it's written, right? Anyway, he's a great guy.
I was going to tell you about that.
Are you judging Pakistan's next hot model or something? Seriously, who are these women?
Okay, you know how we have arranged marriage in my culture? These are those women.
These are women in Pakistan who want to marry you?
They're not in Pakistan.
You've met these women?
Just with my parents and stuff, but we haven't, like...
But you're not serious about this, are you?
It's my mom's thing, I just go along with it.
So what does your mom think about you and me, then? She doesn't know about me, does she?
No.
There are definitely some four-letter words in that scene. We'll cut it there, but you get the gist. Like, he's been found out by his family. You know, his brother knows, and now Now, she knows on the flip side that he's not been completely forthright and honest. And again, he's hiding. He's scared. He's found something that he likes, someone who loves him, not for who he should be, but for who he is. And but now the law has crushed him again because he's not honest. Well, skipping ahead, Emily contracts a rare illness, and she's hospitalized. And they've broken up at this point. They'll break up. But he's the only person kind of close to her, so he goes to visit her in the hospital and lies and basically says, I'm next of kin, I'm her husband or whatever, signs papers to put her into a medically induced coma, which is necessary to save her life. So he's in this awkward place where he loves this woman, but they're not in a relationship. He's at odds with his family or soon will be. And now he's caring for someone that he sincerely loves, but they're not in an actual relationship anymore. And so now he's forced to meet her family because they fly in from North Carolina when they get word. And Ray Romano plays the father, Holly Hunter plays the mother, and they're really a good one-two combo. Yeah, skipping some of those images there, sorry. Yeah, so she's in the coma now. Ray Romano, roommate finds out, fellow comedian finds out. All right, he's in the hospital now. And he doesn't really need to be there anymore. The parents are there. She's in good hands. But he comes anyways.
Did you forget something?
Is she up yet?
No, she's not. And they won't tell us anything. We've been here all morning.
I know. You guys said that you don't need me this day. But I think I'm just going to wait anyway.
You guys broke up. I'm not sure why you're here. You don't have to worry about being committed to anything, Camille. You didn't want to when she was away. There's no need to do it when she's unconscious.
It's more complicated than that.
Is it? Because I know about the two devil. I know about the headshots and the secrets. She tells us everything. You really don't have to stay, Camille. You have already done it.
I'm just going to stay for a second. Is this seat? Okay. Is that lady still looking at
conversation about it with people.
You've never talked to people about 9/11?
What's your stance?
What's my stance on 9/11? Oh, anti. I mean, we lost 19 of our best guys.
So it just shows you they're at odds, but they warm up to him, right? They learn that he's really a loving guy, and he's there for Emily. Against all worldly, conventions, he's not married, they're not dating, he's devoted. And so they warm up to him, and they fall in love with him too, and really welcome him, even though his family here, this is kind of the pivotal scene.
And this is a spoiler, so forgive me. This, you see the movie, you know where we're going, I think. spends a lot of time in the hospital. He's still seeing the Pakistani women. But he comes clean with his parents. Close. Here we go.
The truth will set you free, Jesus says.
Hey, did you see Terry?
I heard him leave this morning. I'm going to Subby's. Do you want anything?
No, I'm good, thank you.
You want a hot dog or nothing?
Dude, it's 8:30 in the morning. Okay.
No hot dog.
We just spoke to Khadija's parents.
What are you doing here?
What is wrong with you, Kumi?
Nothing is wrong with me. I'm sorry.
Sorry? That's all you have to say?
I wasn't that into her.
Into her?
Yeah.
Do you know how difficult it is to get an appointment with her? She's in very high demand.
Okay, so?
So?
Can we please talk about this another time?
No, Kumi. We will talk about this now. We have sacrificed everything for you.
I know, okay?
We have left our family. We have left our home. I have missed the birth of my sister's daughter. I have not seen my mother for 15 years. Your father? He had to do his graduate school again. He had to give exams again.
I was in my mid-50s. They were in 20s. They used to call me Father Time.
Okay. I know that. And I really appreciate everything you did for me. But can we talk about this another time?
If you don't want to be a lawyer, fine. If you want to do the stand-up comedy and embarrass us as a family, fine. There is only one thing that we have ever asked for you, Kumi. That you be a good Muslim and you marry a Pakistani girl. That is it. One thing.
Can I ask you something? Something that has never made sense to me. Why did you bring me here if you wanted me to not have an American life? We come here, but we pretend like we're still back there. That's so stupid.
Don't you talk to your mother like that.
You don't care what I think. You just want me to follow the rules. But the rules don't make sense to me. I don't pray. I don't. I haven't prayed in years. I just go down there and I play video games.
You don't believe in Allah?
I don't know what I believe, Dad. I don't know. And I can't marry someone you find for me.
And why not?
Because I'm in love with someone. I am. And her name is Emily. And she's gonna be a therapist. And right now, she's very sick. But I couldn't tell you that. It makes me so sad that I couldn't tell you any of that. I really appreciate everything you've done for me. I truly, truly, truly do. I really do. And I know Islam has been really good for you and it has made you good people. But I don't know what I believe. I just need to figure it out on my own.
You're not my son.
Yeah, there's two other clips. I'm not going to have time, but you see that, like, he finally comes clean. Truth will set you free, and he's resolved. Love has changed him. The love from Emily allows him to do just crazy things, visiting her every day in the hospital, awkwardly with her parents, but eventually warming up. But I guess the point here, this is an extended parable, extended illustration. And again, we can see it in our own lives. You can think about your relationships and reflect on, yeah, where does God's grace actually touch down? And it's when we're forgiven and loved, not for who we should be, but for who we are in Christ. Now, I know this is not a Christian film, but this is a vestige, a shadow of that, that the law does not change us, but radical love actually does. So go watch the film. There's a few more clips that I can't show you today. We just don't have time, but I think it lands the plane well. And I just hope for you as you watch movies, read, live, yeah, you can reflect on law and grace a little bit more. As Luther says, that's what we do as Christians, as theologians, as people who think about the scriptures and faith. We distinguish rightly between the demands of the law and the gift of the gospel. And when you can see it in human experience and actually name it, it enlivens our faith and allows us to love as Christ loved us. All right, we don't have to fake it We don't have to wear the mask. We don't have to try to improve on what's not improvable, but instead live freely, as Paul would say. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Not to perform, not to convince, but simply to be free. All right, let me close this in prayer and we can be on our way. Sorry, we don't have time for Q&A either. Gracious Lord, we thank you that indeed by your Son, by his shed blood on the cross, by his will, by his sacrifice, we have been forgiven and freed. Lord, may it touch down in every crevice of our lives, in our relationships, Lord, and most of all, before you. Indeed, you loved us first. May we go forth and likewise love others. In Christ's holy name, amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.